हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Nyaya Sutras, page 24. As was previously discussed, fire is the major term, hill the minor term, and smoke is the middle term. The middle term, smoke, is so called because, on one hand, it is connected to the minor term, hill, and on the other hand, it is universally related to the major term, fire. Right? So that's always the thing. The minor has to connect. I mean, the middle has to connect with the minor. In other words, it's in the association or connected with, but it's connected with the major in the way of the universal principle. Right? Because through that universal principle, then now you can apply that to the situation of the hill. Right? Does that make sense? So that's one of the... But where does it come where it was talking about before that you have the generalization or something that it becomes a praman. Well, there was something.
The category. Hmm? There was the category generalization.
But oh, so that's it within inference. Remember when there was
generalization?
Yeah. Oh yeah, here purvavat. Infer there will rain. No, that's the other one. Samanya. Previous somewhere else to this movement? No, it's a different thing. Inferred from the cause, or the cause is inferred from that, or that something was in one place moved to another, like that. No, something else. It's a general.
We're talking about the generalization that if we do that,
no, but that's in here. But there was something.
The ten aspects. The sambhava. Then
okay, it was one of those. It was one of the ten. Okay, so that's being used here in the. So that means it's already included in Anuman.
One more page.
It's already included in Anuman. Then just a tradition, well-known sayings. That kind of has it a little bit. That was what we're using here. Experience of a larger quantity includes a smaller, so that would be non-cognition, presumption. Okay, then comparison, similarity, okay, opinion of sages. Okay, so it's within there, the tradition, I guess, because we're using the thing where there's smoke, there's fire. Yes, you're going to say something.
Yeah, no, I just have to remember. There's something. Gavya, when you see.
Yeah. It's cow. Yeah, it looks like a cow, but it's not a cow.
Yeah, it's
like a, what do you call it? What is this? Called shakalu.
Mm-hmm.
You know shakalu? It's a fruit. It looks like a potato, but it's not a potato.
Mm. Is the same one, Maharaj, the Upamana, page number 16.
It's not Sambhava.
Page number 16.
Yeah, but what they're talking about. The last paragraph.
Analogy or comparison, knowledge of similarity, analyze according to one's previous impressions, which is never encountered by Upamana, one can assign to it a particular name since it's been carried to a familiar object. Okay, so that's the Gavya one, yeah. But it was just that there's, you know, if you, you know, like he's saying, you know, all men are mortal, and John is a man, therefore he's mortal. But that principle of all men are mortal, where does that come from? Is that coming from pratyaksha? Is it a form of pratyaksha?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Shabda, with that direct perception. Bahir, internal. Directed. External.
Or in Sotram, our explanation, page number 22, the different kinds of perception.
Where is that?
Perception of classes. Perception of classes.
22.
Nyayakayans are three kinds of.
Oh, okay. Okay, perception of classes, samanya lakshana, perception based on associating, jnana lakshana, intuitive. So that means classes, there's samanya lakshana. Yeah, that's the number we're talking about. It's the class, that where there's fire, there's smoke. So that any smoke, you know, you connect with some fire. Yeah. Okay. So that universal, the major term. This middle term is also called reason, or ground, since it is because of its perception that the major term is inferred. Thus, an inference has two conditions. The knowledge of the middle term must exist in the minor term, and a relation must exist between the middle term and the major terms. Right? So, it's the major term that's inferred, because you're not seeing fire. Right? You're seeing the mountain, you're seeing the smoke. But, you know, smoke, then on the universal term is associated with fire. So you're not seeing the fire, so the fire is what's being inferred. So it's an inference, you're inferring the major term. Mm-hmm. You know, in the context of the minor term. But it's being done through the middle term, which is seen also. It means the minor term is of course seen. But an inference comes up because you see a middle term that's connected with the major term. So you can infer that the major, or the fire in this case, is therefore on the mountain.
So Maharaj, this is like Upamaya. The middle term is where you apply the knowledge.
Yeah.
You make it applicable.
Yeah, means when you apply the major term to the middle term, so that it connects with the minor term, then you can say that would be the Upanaya, and then you have the final point. Yeah, well, that's very nice. It's very simple, but at the same time it's so sophisticated. That's the thing about the Vedic, is that the principles are very, very simple, but they're very, very sophisticated.
So for example, if we see, just a random example, if we see some person shopping in a very expensive boutique, so we infer that he has money, or she has money.
Yes, we don't see the money. Means we know the place.
Yeah. So
it's expensive, and you see that the person is in the place, and they're shopping. Yes. So then you can infer that they are rich. But that's the thing about inference. It may be wrong. Somebody's got to be rich, but it may be they're not rich. They're using someone else's credit card.
Yeah. So that's the point of reason.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And another example is about love. Nityananda, and they were preaching in liquor shops. And
yes, yes.
So if they go there, means they are not going to buy, but they are going to preaching. But if we infer it incorrectly,
yes,
then we can say that they are breaking regulations.
Yes, yes. So this, because so that's why the inference technically is that's mental speculation. So we'll use it in the context of shabda, but it has to come out with the. We have to be able to see the examples that Shabda gives us. Right? It means the Shastra says, birth, death, old age, and disease. And so then we may not be seeing it, but we can infer. But if we come up to think, no, no, this is Shangri-La, it's perfect, you know, then it, we've misapplied. So speculation means that if when it's used in the context of Shabda, then we generally don't call it speculation, we call it contemplation or reasoning or, you know, logic, like these kind of things. But for others who are not actually following the Vedic literatures and not actually sampradayic, then it will be speculation because they only have a partial, even if they're trying to be God conscious, it will be partial. So there will be speculation. You know, it's just like, let's say, I was just hearing this lecture of Prabhupada's discussing and they're talking about the soul and this and that and transmigration and all these things, and then somebody's, you know, asking, yeah, repeatedly asking this question about, what do you call it? Yes, but he says, how can you say, because, you know, how can a soul, beast soul be in a human body? You know, because they have no knowledge of what the soul is. They're taking it that, you know, I mean, how would you fit that into the human body? It's a different shape. But the soul is 1,000th the tip of the hair. It'll fit in anything. You know, they're not seeing it separate, you know. And then they say, no, but you know, there's the breath of life and this and that. But that's the body. It's not the soul. When the soul's there, breathing happens. The soul leaves, breathing stops. So probably keep bringing it back to these points. But they keep going at it. So they know a little bit that there is soul, but they have no idea what the soul is. I don't know about the others, but if you ask the Christians, they have no idea what the soul is. It could be the body, it could be the mind, you know, it could be, you know, the mood, the spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation.
Just say the Jewish soul.
Jewish souls. But do they say what it is? What is the Jewish soul?
Means
you take a potato latke, and then when God touches it, then it becomes a Jewish soul.
That's not in their philosophy.
Oh, okay. So they're saying that they can't define it. They know that there is soul, but they can't. So that's the problem. This knowledge has been somehow or another lost. But there's still faith that it's there, but there, it's not. It becomes only based on faith. It's not a matter of, I believe there is, so it's there. I don't believe, so it's not there. So it's not actually solid. You good?
I just wanted to say that once I tried to get a definition of the soul of Christianity, and I was reading on Orthodox Christian site, where they try to define what is soul. And I was amazed that every ancient and modern theologian, they gave a different definitions of the soul, and some of them are very opposite of each other. There are more than 100 definitions.
Different definitions.
And different ideas where soul started. It's a main problem at the beginning.
And is that reference to where they're getting it from, or they're just saying that that's their interpretation?
They all understand.
Because no one else has an idea, so right. They have a better idea.
Yeah, well.
One of them wrote that the Jewish people say that soul created after the body, and Greeks, they thought that soul was created before bodies, and we are in the middle.
But how can it be in the middle? It's before or after. It means, where's this middle?
Oh,
okay.
Very precise timing.
Exact timing. Okay. And who says that?
It's not logical. I can see.
Huh?
It's absolutely not logical. They explain that the embryo is being developed.
Yeah, but then when they say it, but be there, it means then when it's conceived, then the soul will be there. So then. After. Oh, when the body's born. So that means, but why would the baby grow unless there's a soul there?
But also justify emotion.
I see.
Depends what's the goal.
So if they're unconscious and all that, then that's the whole point. So that means if you killed someone in their sleep, then it shouldn't be murder. It's just an abortion. You just aborted their existence. That's all. So then I guess if you get first degree abortion, second degree abortion, third degree.
This point about something that it is neither in the past, nor in the future, nor in the present.
None of the three.
That philosophy actually comes from Buddhists.
Buddhists,
So, when their critical examination of this Pramanas, that's their point, that Pramana is not of any value because it is not related to the Prameya, the truth, in the past, or in the future, or in the simultaneously, like that. Then Gautama argues back, and he says that if you say something, first of all you are accepting that there is Pramana, and then you are saying it didn't exist in the past, in the future, in the simultaneously with each other. So your point is you already accepted there is something. When you say there is nothing, then you shouldn't even propose this. So first of all, you agreed there is something. So it should exist in either of these three. So,
otherwise,
it's...
The fact that you can conceptualize it proves that it exists.
Yes, yes. And it exists, then it should exist in either of these three. If it's existing in either, just shut your mouth. It's like that's what it is.
That's very fine. How fine you got.
I tried to make the document a critical examination. Few things.
Yeah, very nice. Something? No?
Yeah. Was said by Maxim Confession. Famous theologian.
Oh, so it's a Christian. Okay. Yes, that's just nothing better to do. So that's the difficulty, not enough knowledge. So is what you were saying before. It's just a touch of knowledge, but it's not enough, and so then they'll speculate on the rest of it. And that's why then the Vedic literature is given enough that you don't need to speculate. It means you'll use the reasoning process to see it into your context, but there's no need to speculate. Okay, thus an inference has two conditions. Do we already read this?
Okay. It's not possible to read. The next one.
Next, after. Oh, it is not possible, okay. I thought you were saying about it. It's not possible to hear, and I said, what?
Okay.
Yeah, it's not possible to realize. Well, what do you mean? Don't just explain. She tried. Okay. It's not possible to realize the existence of fire on the hill as a conclusion based on inferential reasoning if the invariable concomitance between the middle and the major terms is not established. So basically all Prabhupada did was take these sentences and put them into English that the common man on the street could understand. Because these are the words. But then Prabhupada will say it in such a simple way that then it will be thought what he's saying is simple, when actually no, he's saying this with understanding, your realization, so that you can get it's accessible. Because this, if you don't make it. Okay. So invariable means it's not going to change, and the concomitance means it goes back, and the two are connected. Between the middle and major terms is not established. This invariable concomitance between these two terms of inference is called vyapti, the logical ground for inference. Okay, so that's the vyapti, when there is a logical ground. So as we see here, it's very interesting in this, and that you can, if you take it and go back into other things, that a term is used, and there's a form that term takes. But it's actually a principle that is being applied, and the form is simply what manifests it. So in other words, vyapti, what it's talking about, is actually a primary principle. The form through which it takes, these are secondary. Does that make some sense? You know, like we were saying before, drishtanta. Drishtanta is a principle of the person actually understanding what you're saying through, you know, the you're giving the, it's the understanding. It's manifested through the use of examples. But it's the understanding that's the drishtanta, not the example. Does that make sense? So the vyapti means when you actually establish a connection between the fire and the smoke. When that's done, that's vyapti. Now you can apply that vyapti back to the minor term, because the smoke is on the hill, therefore there's fire on the hill. You understand? So there's principles here. If we catch those, then it becomes more easy to work with. But to work with all these technical things, because they apply, every time you apply it, it'll be slightly different situation and that, so it adjusts. You know, it's just like, if you know cooking, you know, you're a cook, you know the science, you can go into any kitchen and somehow or another cook. But if you don't know cooking, and you go into a kitchen that's not actually properly equipped or that, you can't cook. Because you only know pots, pans, you know, the things, the measurements. You only know the external. You don't actually fully understand what cooking means. Does that make sense? So that will be another difference in the Vedic, is it's not about the it's not about the terms and the forms that those terms are expressed through. It's about the principle that the term is meaning. So that's what makes it difficult to understand. So the whole idea in this Chaitanya Upanayanam course is to become familiar with those principles. And then you know those major terms, so therefore then you can apply it into, you know, the major common applications. You know, the general applications. You don't know the detail. You know, it means not that you could learn. You could easily learn if you have the capacity. But if you haven't learned this, you really don't know it. Hence that whole discussion on rhetoric and hermeneutics, right? Because they're looking at the forms, and that the definition means the forms, when actually the definition means the principles in which those forms are expressing it.
It's indication of the principle.
It's indication. In other words, the Vedic starts from the, let's say, like the childness. When you understand childness, then the manifestation through childhood makes sense. But if you only know childhood, you don't necessarily know childness. So you have, from the ness comes the hood. So this is a very crucial point in the Vedic philosophical point, because it is Krishna. If you understand it, then you understand his energies.
Childhood is not the...
Childhood means that they bounce around, they fall on their face. Childness means they're not very, you know, developed.
I was always thinking the hood aspect is the masculine.
No, it's the hood is the feminine. It's the masculine is the principle, it's always there. The feminine means it's not necessarily there. Maybe there, maybe not there. Like the guy is sitting there in the living room, he's there. The wife may or may not be there. She's getting ready for going out. No? So at some point when she manifests, now you can go out. No? Yeah, so that's the thing, is that Krishna exists even if his energies aren't manifest. His existence is there. So that means all these principles are there. When the energy is expanded, then you see them. Does that make sense? You know, so let's say the nature of the chair, you know, chairness exists eternally. Then when it's manifest through the material nature, through whatever ways of carpentry and this and that, then you get the chair. So that's the chairhood. So this chairhood is different from that chairhood, which is different from the one upstairs, the IKEA chairhood, you know.
Just the terms, because in Lakshmikantra I was reading about, the hood is described as the original principle, and the nis is
how it's manifested through the...
Oh, they're putting it the other way around.
Yeah, and then the actual, what we manifest of the chair that is fully manifest is, yeah, it doesn't have... It's just the normal
term. But it's the detail, because
yeah, it's a detail.
There's unlimited varieties of chairs.
Mm-hmm. Because that's why I got a little...
Sure, can you go back and just check again?
Yeah, yeah. Because just the terms, like definition...
Well, I mean, you just have to take one as a masculine, one as a feminine. Whichever it is, then that's the way it'll work.
Yes, yes, yes.
I understood it, the ness, because that's what... Because the hood is the symptoms and all that, while the ness is the principle. You know, it's just like, let's say, cooking is an entity. It means whatever it is, the two. Cooking is an entity. Within that, it has all kinds of symptoms of what it is. You can be cooking by something's on the fire. You can be boiling it, baking it, grilling it, you know, just, you know, how to say, you know, yeah. Again?
That's not cooking.
Well,
you mix it. Yeah. Well, they call it cooking. Making a salad is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, actually.
Pouring a bowl of cereal, is that cooking as well? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would also be.
All right.
Depends on your definition.
So that means opening the box of cereal is also cooking. Yeah. So it's just a matter of one of them will be the principle, and one of them will be the symptoms of that principle. How it's manifest. Now, which one is manifest? That's the detail. You know, it's just like you have the childhood, the childness. Child means that, you know, that younger, that infant mentality and all that. It's manifest through running around, giggling, laughing, crying, screaming, that, always being, so many different things. But now, at this point, this child is manifesting this aspect. But another child is another aspect. So you're going to have both of those. It would be like the formal cause and the original cause. So the original cause is the masculine. The formal cause is what are the methods through which it can manifest. Then you have the material cause is the manifestation. You know what I'm saying? Or the immediate cause, you know, which is the person manifesting, through which it's manifested. So the principle remains, just which is the proper term, which is it's the ness or the hood.
So it's like the flagpole will be Narayana, and the flag itself will be Lakshmi?
Yes, yes. So in the primary creation you have the Lord. So
yes.
The principles of the 8,400,000 and 14 planetary systems, that's already existing. Then through the energy, the principles of the primary creation are there. Then they manifest where we can see them in the secondary creation. But they're based on the primary creation. And that's why I say people, you can do whatever you want to do. Wasn't that a song for the do what you want to do, be what you want to be? So the Beach Boys or something, or the Monkees, or those.
The verse also says, I just switched up. He, Hari, being I, of the Self, is regarded as the Self in all beings. I am the eternal I-hood of all living beings. This is what Lakshmi Devi says.
Well, she says she is the I-hood.
I-hood.
So
yeah.
He's the I-ness.
Okay. He just calls it the I-entity.
Somewhere else, I think it said the ness.
Okay.
Like that. I was reading maybe in another place. Okay, so that's it. So the hood is, because the hood is childhood. Means if I say childhood, then people think of the manifestation of what children do. But the childness is the universal principle by which you can get that childhood. Then your kid did this particular thing in their childhood. You know.
I guess the confusion may be coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the way Prabhupada used it.
Yes.
It appears to hint at the masculine principle.
Yes. But Godhood is then how things are done. His expansions and this and that. So it still goes back to him. Because in any place, even he expands, then they're servants of him, but then they have the energy at that point. Just as he expands, Lakshmi expands.
Yeah.
of them.
Yeah, the verse describes that. Without I-hood, the I-entity would, for want of association, be meaningless. Means, because there is no association, so then that absolute nirvana is actually doesn't exist. And in the same way, the I-hood without the I-entity would, for want of a basis, lack of meaning.
Yeah.
So, another way to put that.
Yeah, because the one, he's, God exists as the original personality, but without manifestation, you wouldn't know he's there, even though he is. And the manifestation without the without Krishna can't be manifest. It has no existence. So Krishna always has existence, but we will not appreciate it. So in other words, it's only through his energies we appreciate Krishna. Just like he manifests through his internal potency. Therefore we appreciate him. But he's still separate from his energy. Even though he manifests through his internal potency, but he's still separate from that. He still has an identity, even if he's not. We don't see it.
Asatmarama.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where the Buddhists get things. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. So they put themselves as the origin of everything.
Maharaj, therefore, this aspect of being independent, for us, the conditioned soul, because we're dependent, could be very deeply in second. Because if someone is independent, that means he doesn't need us and we don't expect anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's there. Yeah, there's always the worry that you won't care. Because sometimes if you push too much about how God's so far, it's so difficult, then, oh, I can't attain him. You know, that's what...
They
you put God too far away.
Once I was trying to explain this, that if you're trained in a group who are, then you are independent, I wanted to say it in good sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there was Mataji I was trying to explain this. She acted very, very, she was very startled. Why would you say independent? You could have said something else, like he's considerate, he understands the feeling of the wife, etc. So,
but isn't that the meaning of independent?
But she took it in a sense that...
Because the thing is, who's going to be able to do that? It's the one who's independent, not the one who's dependent.
Yeah,
it
just
depends on the connotation.
Yeah, it's always depends on the connotation.
And what you want to hear, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thing independent means goes off, you know.
Yeah.
So
he's on his own, he doesn't need you.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
So what is it called? The father, it's like a rolling stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never at home, or whatever it is, it's gone. So they don't want that. It's here. Because also the independent then may indicate that there's no ability to control. But that's the whole thing, because if you can control, where's the interest? Right? Means, how long is the Gucci bag seriously interested? As long as you don't have it. As soon as you have it and you control it, it doesn't have the interest anymore. Then it's just something you have. And so, yeah, so only if you can take it out and use it to control others, then, you know.
That's why a cat is always interesting.
Because he... maybe. Because you don't control them, yeah. Maybe. Well, dogs are just... Yeah, it's funny.
They're loyal.
Huh?
Dogs are loyal.
No, that's from that aspect they're good, but from that intellectual aspect, then they're highly uninspired. But if you're going to go out into the field and you want something to go along with you, and, you know, bite whatever comes and bothers you, then you take the dog. But if you want to sit around the house and, you know, speculate on the, what do you call it, the higher principles of life, then you keep a cat.
That's why they say that our civilization goes back to the Egyptians again. Because we ride on the walls and worship cats.
Okay. Yeah, because when you think about it, when you think about Neanderthal, right? Neanderthal draws on the caves, and for a pet, they have a saber-toothed tiger. Right? So is a cat, right? They don't keep a wolf, they don't keep a dog or something. Like saber-toothed wolf? No.
They eat them all, I guess.
And then if you want to make it also extend the franchise, then you have the squirrel, saber-toothed squirrel. Right? No? but in Bengali, they're called tree cats. Yeah, the squirrels, they're Gajpir owl. They call them like that, tree cats. They live in the trees.
But there is another one, no? They call the one which climbs the trees and it's like a big one. It can jump anywhere, eats the...
But it's a cat.
Yes, Mara.
Oh, no, that might be. But I'm just saying here they call the squirrels, they call them also that because they live in the tree.
Because they don't have cats. They need cats, all those guys.
See how important cats are, right? Yes, because Bengalis are known for being intellectuals, so therefore it's got to be cats. You know,
universal kids.
Yeah. I've noticed in Bulgarian villages because there's not enough people in Bulgaria. Villages like 10, 15 people in Kongi, then they go to the cities.
What, to the cities?
So the cats there, because they're used to people, but now there are not enough people. So they develop somehow dogish mentality now. So they will walk after you, they will behave like dogs actually, because they need people.
Oh, okay.
People are very rare, so when they see somebody around, they're like,
come over and like that. Do they sit around and any other cats come along and they meow 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 meow?
Yeah. And when you go somewhere, they follow you.
Oh, okay.
But that's why the Himalayan cats. One of my relatives had the Himalayan cat. It's like just like dog. It's coming everywhere, being with you. But by the way it's walking, I could understand. It's not a dog. Then you say, it's a Himalayan cat.
Oh, yeah, they're very, very rare cats.
It has a lot of fur. It looks like more like a Chihuahua kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
they're a very special cat. Huh. Yes. Go Shala meeting.
Social media.
One social media. Go Shala meeting. Okay. Because the fans, I can't always hear what you say. Comparatively, but still, it disturbs.
The discussion was about what Krishna has, and this was because that Krishna has two favorite puppies. But
favorite puppies.
The question was, does he have a cat and
does he have a favorite tiger?
I don't know. One of his dogs is named Tiger, which is a cat. Swami told us that. I don't know the other name of the other one.
Are you sure you're pronouncing it right?
It translates to tiger. I don't think.
No. But I'm saying, if you say it, wouldn't it be Tigger?
Tigger. Perhaps.
Tigger is in Bulgarian.
Right? Huh? In Bulgarian, you say Tigger?
Mm. In Russian.
Also Tigger, but I'm just saying Winnie the Pooh, his friend is named Tigger.
No,
the tiger is Tigger. Yeah, his name is Tigger, not Tiger. Maybe that's what they picked it up from the Slavic.
Mm. Even the Spanish El Tigre.
El Tigre, okay.
That's what he says. He has two dogs.
Yeah.
Ramaraka and Diago.
But someone was explaining, I think, I'm not sure who it was, I think it was maybe, I think it came up in question, one of the Gaudiya Swamis was saying that it's the closest translation you can get to is a dog, but actually they're not dogs. Mm. They're not these kind of dogs. They're something else, but it's the closest thing that they can, word they can find in English.
Kind of like Makara shark?
Yeah, like Makara's or sharks, when it's actually, sometimes you see his crocodile. But, you know, that Ganga rides, because Ganga rides on a makara, so sometimes you see her on a crocodile. But the thing is they have an elephant nose, so they're like a shark but with an elephant nose, but it appears that they also have feet. So they have those four little. If you had a shark that had feet, that and with an elephant nose.
Most dangerous.
Yeah, most dangerous means it's going to get you on land. It's going to get in the water. It's just, yeah. But you see, you know, some of them, means we generally see like the shark earrings. They're just like sharks. But if you see older, like especially South Indian, you'll see they have a curled nose. Those are monkeys.
But they don't have cats.
No. They're there. It mentions they're in Vrindavan. The tigers are there, but they don't run around and chase the other animals. They just hang out. So what they do in the pastimes, I don't know. I haven't seen many details.
Well, Krishna will talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that he
imitates
the voices of all of the animals.
So.
Okay.
Well,
you can embrace the tigers.
Yeah.
Very
perfect. Doesn't say embrace the
dogs.
So.
It means they
were. He's playing with the puppy. Oh, as a kid, he played with a puppy. Yeah. There was that puppy in the village, but his mother was very upset. So that means. If she was upset that he had the playing with the street dogs, then it must be that those pets that Krishna has are not exactly dogs. Or they're not. Yeah, but he was playing with it outside. He wasn't taking it in the house. But whatever, it doesn't matter.
She didn't understand if he had a street dog.
It wasn't really his, it just followed along.
Also Yudhishthira. When they were on Mahaprasthan, then that dog came along, and then when he came there, he said, okay, here's the, the chariot to go to the heavenly planets, and says, you know, you can come, says, I'll only go if the dog goes. He says, how can a dog go? You know, he's a dog. He says, I came up here with all his brothers and his wife. They all fell off the mountain. This dog didn't, so that means he's not an ordinary dog, so... I made it, he's going, you know, so. Yeah, so it's not that dogs aren't there, but it's not important, so therefore now they can go out and get themselves a puppy. Because we see Lord Chaitanya only played with it with his puppy, not when it was big. Of course, then you could also go with the new trend where they just get puppies and they keep them in their purse. You know, I'm saying, you know, they hang out. But as soon as they get a little big, I think they take them back to the pound and get another puppy.
They just get the dogs that don't grow.
Yeah, they're out there.
Oh, really?
And the toy fox carriers, and yeah, they just stay that size.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very bold. They look like that. They have very small legs. They look very funny. They read that they have lots of disease because humans meet them.
Yeah, they just overly do it.
Yeah, because they're so small. They look very cute.
Anything? Main thing is that he's like Chihuahuas would probably be more popular if they were fluffy. And there's like those other, like there's the Pekingese and all those others. They're all fluffy.
Yeah. They
main thing is fluffiness. Rabbits are fluffy. If you could get a long-haired Chihuahua,
that
would probably be quite popular.
Because you can make lots of money.
Yeah. Keep that in mind for the next time. Does that work? In other words, Krishna has it. Doesn't mean we have. Because they say, oh, but he has pets. Why can't we have? He also has 16,108 wives. Are we going to do that? You know. So then, stick to what the acharyas recommend.
He has peacocks also.
Huh? He has peacocks, yeah.
Deer.
Cows, you know. The main thing is cows. So if they're into it, there's a goshala here. They can go down there, you know, help with the cows, feed the cows, bathe the cows, take the cows out for a walk. Like that. Don't get a dog. I can guarantee if he had, it wasn't a Labrador. And when Krishna went out, he didn't wear cargo shorts and a t-shirt with his dog. Yeah.
Can we be sure of that?
Yeah, we can be sure. Well, no leash either. It's the spiritual world. You don't need leashes.
Bring your own soul.
Today's not a codicil, is it?
No.
When's the codicil?
21st.
So today's 10th.
Thursday.
Oh,
you mean the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just have one last
one. On the 6th.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because we just had the Purnima, so then we had to. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yes, that's it. You already worked out the menu, everything, got it all packed, and today's tomorrow's a goddess.
So we avoid that.
Yeah, so you have to eat everything today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Concomitance guarantees the validity of the conclusion. The validity or invalidity of an inference depends on the validity or invalidity of vyapti. Right? So in other words, if the connection, that universal connection is there between the major term and the middle term, then you have that, then there's concomitance. Concomitance means that universal aspect is there. And so if you have that, you have vyapti, and then the shaha means inference being a praman is based on that. Means the inference is only as good as the vyapti is. Like that. If vyapti is not good, nothing's good. Yeah? Okay. Therefore, Nyaya philosophy goes into great detail concerning the nature of concomitance and the fallacies related to it. Because you can have concomitant, like we said, with smoke and fire, the concomitance is one way, not the other. Does that make sense? Yeah. Logical ground for inference, vyapti. Okay, so then you say that there's a logical ground for it because there is the concomitance. If that's not there, you don't have logical ground. So if you can't find the logical ground for it, then you don't have the vyapti, and so therefore you don't have the inference.
Concomitance would be the mutual existence
of something? Yes. The relationship or...
Yeah.
The mutual relationship that is universal.
Naturally accompanying.
Yes. You know, like fire, heat, and light. Those are concomitant factors. If you have one, you have the other. Yes. But not the other way around. If you have jnana and vairag, doesn't mean you have bhakti. If you have bhakti, you have jnana and vairag. Yes, because that's the whole point he's pointing out, is because sometimes you'll take it universal as both ways when it's not, it's only one way. So many times you get mistakes. That's the up and coming point.
So there's a semicolon after logical grounds of inference. He's explaining now the logical grounds for inference. There should be a semicolon to that.
Oh, okay. You adjusted that. Okay. Vyapti meaning the state of pervasiveness. You know, means that whatever it is, it pervades that. It's always there. You know, it means it's not that there's some aspect that fire is connected with only the heat and light close to it, but what's far from it is not connected to it. That it pervades the whole thing. You know, the childhood pervades everything. Right? So in other words, you can't use vyapti if your example is boss baby. Because childhood doesn't apply there. It's not pervading. Only certain aspects. No? State of pervasiveness implies that both that which pervades and that which is pervaded. So they go together. For example, in the inference of fire and smoke, smoke is the pervaded and fire is the pervader.
So again, you're always going to have this masculine and feminine. So then again, Krishna and the Shaktis. So you have to be able to understand this, which is first, which is primary, which is secondary. Because if it's primary, it doesn't mean that it goes the other way around. Sometimes you see they work together, but it's not necessarily. Right? So here, smoke is always accompanied by fire. Wherever there is smoke, there will also be fire. The reverse, however, is not necessarily true. It is possible to have fire without smoke. For example, a Bunsen burner. It must be this is where I got it from, because whenever I think about it, I think about Bunsen burners.
What is this?
In science class and stuff, you have this funny burners, like a round ring, and it comes up, and then it has a straight thing, and you have a little knob on the side that you heat your flasks with and stuff like that. And you know,
okay,
that's when the teacher's around. When the teacher's not around, you use it for other things. Warm your sandwich, you know. I say the occasion of once a split, and you know, things like that. No split? Two? No, okay. You weren't using it like that.
Right.
Okay. Neither did I.
We had all the different other sorts of mischief that we caused.
Oh, okay.
Even the restaurants, Mara?
Like ponytails go really well in Bunsen burners. They're easier. Pigtails are harder to get into the Bunsen burner because the peripheral vision, and they're shorter. Right? But if it's longer, then the point of it, it's behind, you can't see, and you can take the end and move it. So. Yes. Okay. But there are examples in which both the pervader and pervaded coexist permanently. For example, fire and heat. There are, therefore, two kinds of concomitants, equivalent and non-equivalent. So that will be, you know, the term is used for, I'm sure, the Sanskrit word for it. But when it goes both ways, it's equivalent. When it only goes one way, it's non-equivalent. So the fire and smoke is non-equivalent.
Fire and heat is equivalent.
But fire and heat is equivalent. Non-equivalent concomitants. Asam avyapti. Okay. Asam avyapti. Oh, it means not equal. So you have some avyapti. So vyapti means you have some avyapti and asam avyapti. Okay, so the vyapti itself means the state of pervasiveness. But so if that's what it would mean. But then sama vyapti will mean it goes both ways, and asama will mean it only goes one way. Right? Okay. Is an invariable concomitance between two unequal entities, such as smoke and fire. Oh, these are fancy words. They say exactly what you want, but. Invariable means it doesn't go both ways. It's just one way. You can't adjust it. It has already been shown that this type of concomitance, one entity may be inferred from the other, but not vice versa. Equivalent vyapti, samu vyapti, not sama vyapti.
I think Maharaj. Sama plus vyapti.
Would it? But there's, you sure? Because there's no vowel in front. Unless you catch sama vyapti, because you can say sama vyapti, but if it's sama avyapti, then you say sama vyapti, or if it's, oh, then you get sama avyapti. Oh, really? Oh, V is sometimes treated. Oh, there's rules like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then. Okay, yaralava. Okay, they're semi vowels. Okay. Okay, equivalent vyapti, samu vyapti, is an invariable concomitance between two coexisting terms, either of which may be inferred from the other. Right. So, in other words, if there's smoke, you can infer fire. If there's fire, you can't infer smoke. Right. So that's the whole point. Is the vyapti is the evidence that it can be used as an evidence. Does that make sense? Means that the major term then becomes the evidence, right? So if it's sama, it can work both ways. If it's asama, then it has to be only one way, and you have to choose the right one. So the idea is, if you're aware of this, then you will see sometimes when people are inferring, since inference is used so much, especially in the modern kind of context. I mean, it's always used, but anytime anyone has half a brain, then somehow that inference starts working. But it's not necessarily that they're using it properly. They don't have proper concomitance. Mm-hmm. Right? For example, a chair is a nameable thing because a chair is knowable, and whatever is knowable is nameable. Here, nameable and knowable can both be inferred from each other. Right? If you can know it, you can name it. If it has a name, you can know it. Okay. Concomitance denotes a relationship of coexistence, saha charla, but not every interest of coexistence is an example of concomitance. Fire, for example, often coexists with smoke, yet it may exist without smoke. So that's the thing. It's not it's a relationship, but it's not necessarily always. So if the relationship is always there, then you'll say that it would be an equal concomitance. If it's not, it'll just be, it'll have one aspect. It'll go one way. One will be the pervader, one will be the pervaded. So, yeah. The coexistent relationship of fire and smoke depends on certain conditions, temperature and wetness, for instance. The condition on which the relation of coexistence depends upon is called upadi. Okay, we're going to get another thing shown in, okay? And for an inference to be valid, the relationship between the middle and major terms of a syllogism must be independent of any and all conditions. Right? So that makes sense. So you can't have any dependency on something else, because then if that's not there, it won't happen. Right? Unless you can show that it's happening. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you can see the wood is wet, you know, like that, because you just fished it out of the bathtub, right? So you can say, therefore, there'll be smoke. Because it's an upadi for there to be smoke. Right? You know, one of the upadis. It can also be sap. It can be, you know.
Green,
yeah. In other words, a valid concomitance represents an invariable and unconditional concomitant relation, nitya anaupadika sambandha, between the middle and major terms of a syllogism. Right? So it's just being very exact, because people in their expression of logic aren't so exact. So if people are trained in this, then they start to talk like this and everything. So we see Ayurveda even gives the whole definition of how logic works, because then you will have healthy intelligence. If you have healthy intelligence, the mind will be healthy. Because otherwise the mind gets unhealthy when it wants things that are not logical.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.